This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Let's continue. We were talking here about the Delphos, Kansas UFO case from 1971, where Phyllis did, I guess we call it a forensic analysis. You were the CSI person for this?
Well, I don't know. I did analytical chemistry on it. I suppose you could call it a forensic analysis. It's a death.
Remember here, we're looking at the side effects of what's happening there.
Yeah.
And so we don't know where that happened. Is there anything that you're aware of, based on your experience in the conventional world, that would produce similar effects? Anything at all?
Nothing at all. It's why it's bizarre. And for some that would argue, okay, this is degraded plants and stuff like that. No. No, it definitely is not, because those are the type of materials that they degrade to. The fact is, these are water-soluble humates, fulvic acid, oxalic acid, and these were not found in the controls. And I think this could possibly be related to some kind of a biological thing or a process. Related to whatever the process they were doing. It was the decomposed components or whatever it was. I think I should get that a little better. Maybe you better back that up.
Well, maybe they just decided it was time to dump the bilge to lighten their load.
That's, that's my thing. I think they're waste products. Maybe I'm thinking that it could be maybe something like hydroponics.
And, interesting. So it could have been some sort of growth medium that was kind of beyond its expiration date, and they decided to dump that, plus some of the excretions that the aliens scrape off their skins and probably store in very smelly vats and then dump it out the bottom.
By the way, this did have an odor,
It did have an odor. Interesting. I didn't recall. Yeah. I don't recall remembering
some people,
that.
Some people complained of sulfur odor. Now, in trace amounts, there were other things. I think they found a trace amount of mercaptan, which is a smelly compound. But these were in trace amounts, and there were trace. So
you didn't find those in the control samples, I'm assuming.
Oh, no.
Well, I remember meeting Ted many years ago, and almost the first case out of his mouth, at that point he was like 6,000 cases he'd been involved with. The first case out of his mouth was Delphos. That, I think, without question, is his most intriguing and sensational case out of all the landing trace cases that he allegedly has compiled. I think he's around 7,000 now, maybe more. When was the last time you talked to Ted? We've been trying to get him back on the show, get a little sense of what's going on at the his so-called Marley Woods case that he's been working on for 20 plus years. When was the last time you talked to him? How's he doing?
I had sent some emails back and forth about a couple years ago, and I've been meaning to get back to him to see how he's doing. I know he's had some physical problems. You know, he's in his early 70s now.
Yeah.
And that he was doctoring for. He is also not really giving interviews that much anymore. So,
yeah, we've found that out. He's been on the show, and he was going to put up a website and start publishing some of the results from his many years at that infamous case. Has he ever contacted you about any sort of trace evidence or any sort of work that comes down, you know, in your particular area of expertise from the Marley Woods case?
Occasionally he has on a couple things on some cases that he's been on, and I can't remember specifics because I didn't find anything on these particular things. And so I don't think I even wrote a report on them. But, yeah, he has contacted me on a few things.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's good to know that Ted at least is still, I guess, up and at him. I remember some of the pictures from back in the day when he was a kid, you know.
With the Beatle haircut.
Yeah, with the Beatle haircut, tramping around with Jacques Vallée and Alan Hynek. I had the unique and I guess, you know, I can die a happy man. I met finally Jacques Vallée at the recent International UFO Congress, so my questionable ufological life is now complete.
Oh, wow. That's the one person I haven't met, and I wish I would have had the fortune to meet Hynek when he was alive, too.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
I had several meetings with Hynek, and the most interesting one, and I'll give you an example of this. This was really fun, where I introduced him to Charles Berlitz, who wrote the Bermuda Triangle and was co-author of the first book on Roswell. Mm-hmm. And the question that Hynek asked him was, how can I get more interest, more sales for my books? What do I have to do? He was asking him for advice because Berlitz had written best-selling books and had done very well with it. It was really interesting. It was kind of fun to watch these two guys go back and forth for, I don't know, about a half hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so looking at Delphos, Kansas, you've done all this work, but you couldn't say, even though these materials are original or unique, that this is ironclad evidence of a possible extraterrestrial origin of UFOs, right?
That's right. All I know is something bizarre happened, and you try to rule out everything else. And once the common explanations fail, you know you have something bizarre going on. You can't explain why is that there, why did they drop it, you know. So that's the type of thing you run into. Perfect example.
And maybe it was just an effort to get the Earthlings wondering what they were dropping and why.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say ET has a sense of humor, though.
No, I don't think so. Ted did tell me he thought that the thing was in trouble, the craft was in trouble, and they had to get rid of it. But you know, that was a speculation on his part. He told me that some years ago.
Well, I used to joke about UFO crashes, especially Roswell, being the result of ET using the lowest bidder in building their spacecraft for interstellar travel.
Mm-hmm.
Good enough for government work, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here's I have as soon as we posted that you were going to be on the show, of course, you know, we have a very active forum community at forum.theparacast.com, and if folks go and register and sign up for the forum and everything, they can ask questions of our guests. So we have a number of questions here. And this is something that I became involved with, this particular aspect of anomalous sites, shall we say. I was involved with Lefty Levengood and BLT Research in the bovine excision site study. And one of the things that we found around the animal, in one case that I was the field person, collected samples and whatnot, was extreme elevation of levels of magnetite. And around the animal, there was a 300% increase. If I remember correctly, it might have been 600% right at the animal, and then down to 300% increase in the amount of magnetite. And this was directly around this particular mutilated cow in Colorado. And then as we went out to 50 feet, then boom, the levels of magnetite went down to control levels. Have you done any sort of work on this whole idea of magnetite being somehow concentrated around landing sites, any sort of trace evidence cases, and in this case, cattle mutilations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've just done some recently. I was out to the Travis Walton site in November.
That's a good cliffhanger, Phyllis. We're going to find out what you found at the Travis Walton site and the issues with regard to mutilations in our next segment with Phyllis Buttinger. And Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
This is Sharon Hunt. Before using Heart and Body Extract, my energy level was very, very low. I could only walk a few feet and then would have to sit down. I was tired and lethargic. But after taking Heart and Body Extract, my energy level has improved greatly, and I can now walk longer distances without getting tired so fast. Thank you, Heart and Body Extract.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
Hi, Pat Matthews again. I want to talk to you about selling online. And when I say selling, I'm talking about your home, your car, and even buying a house or a new set of wheels. There's a new kid in town, and that's BuySellMakeOffer.com. The revolution has already begun, and I invite you to be a part of it. You see, get in on the ground floor, because BuySellMakeOffer.com never charges item fees. Can you imagine what the other guys might charge you for selling a car on their site? Let alone a house. Well, BuySellMakeOffer.com doesn't do that. And you can use Skype and YouTube videos to sell your products, big or small. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and set up your account. For as little as $7.95 per month, you can sell up to 50 items. And they'll give you the first 30 days free just to try it out. Remember, no per item fees. Join the revolution today. BuySellMakeOffer.com. And tell them Pat Matthews sent you.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I notice Chris is using a kindler, gentler Paracast stinger. All right? Phyllis Buttinger is joining us. We're talking about some research into cattle mutilations. And you also mentioned going to the site of the Travis Walton abduction. Phyllis, tell us more.
Yeah, well, I've been there twice now, and the second time I collected some soil samples. Now, the problem is that they're 40 years. They've been weathered 40 years, and there's been a forest fire through there. I don't know if I'll find anything. The analysis isn't done yet. I have a lot of data to check on. I'm going to send it for soil assay, and I've got some other tests that I'm going to submit it for. But I did do the magnetite test, and I did find right around the site where the craft was, there's a little higher level of magnetite. I found it in other soil samples from other sites. Also, the Bentwaters case, the chemist that worked on that also found higher levels of magnetite around the craft. I think they're ferrites, natural iron-containing particles that are in all soils. But for some reason, they concentrate at the site. We speculate what it might be. But again, we speculate that it's a magnetic effect from the craft propulsion system. This must have a heck of a power system, because to be able to attract particles close, to it and to the site through the soil. And this is what we're thinking. I'm working with another chemist on the East Coast who basically that's what his speculation was. There was one speculation by Levengood that it was meteoritic dust, but I don't believe that one. In fact, I am sending some of this magnetite from a case in Montana for an analysis to see if it is meteoric dust, but I just want to put that one to rest. But I think it's the ferrites that are naturally in the soil.
Well, this all of a sudden I just had a light bulb go off over my head. If this magnetic event is drawing magnetite to some sort of central point, shouldn't the levels of magnetite dip down dramatically at a certain point before going back up to control levels? Because you're attracting magnetite from an area, and it's leaving that particular, let's say, a ring around the area. So shouldn't the levels be highly elevated around the event, and then they should fall off, because that's the material that's being drawn to the event, and then it should go back up to control levels, right?
Well, that's a good question, because something I don't have enough data to look to see if that's true, and I'm going to look at it from that aspect. Now, that is a very good question, and I can't tell you for sure, because I'll just have to look at the data. Now, I have it from two or three other sites. And,
yeah, I'm gonna look at the data too in the bovine excision site study, because I took samples from actually right at the animal every 5 feet out to 50 feet, and then I think 150 feet, and then control a mile away in four directions.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's good.
So, yeah, it costs a lot to send all that dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Chris, while you're talking, something occurs to me. Aren't we looking here at some kind of comparison between the mutilations and UFOs that might be favorable, or is it just two different types of cases but trying to do similar things and getting solid evidence?
Well, there's no real consistency. My case happened to feature elevated levels of magnetite. Not all cases do. So if there was consistency through the data, then we'd have something to hang our hat on. But if one case is going to be, dramatically different from another, obviously you're not going to be able to make any real educated, come up with any educated hypotheses based on inconsistent data. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Phyllis, but I mean, if all this stuff was we had the same exact repeatable or replicated data sets after analysis, then we would have something to go on. But it's still, there's no consistency. Some cases have it, some don't. Other cases have elevated levels of like she mentioned, the Delphos case have elevated levels of naturally occurring elements that are, a strange combination that shouldn't be there. So until we get consistency, And until we can actually go into a case and be able to determine beforehand what we're going to find, which is how kind of science works, and replicate that that data and, you know, prove out the hypothesis, then we're, you know, we're still gathering data.
You know, in some cases, I think that maybe the animal was dropped from a height. There was evidence for some animals having been dropped, so then the craft would not have landed. Maybe in some cases it landed.
Yeah, good point. I've had cases where animals have had their horns driven into the ground, even snapped off, all the upper side ribs broken right against the spine, which would indicate the animal was dropped from at least 40 or 50 feet, if not higher. So, yeah, that's a good point. Now, speaking on the mutilation, you know, one of the reasons why I moved Phyllis to Arizona was to get away from mutilation cases like I had to deal with in Colorado, because Arizona has not been hit officially that many times over the years, although there were cases around, right around the time that Travis got taken, interestingly enough. I just had someone send me an article from the Arizona Daily Sun that there's a ranch 30 miles from me that they had just had a number of cases recently, and the lady claims that she's been having them every year. It's a cost of doing business. There was a claim that three elk were found in August in a mutilated condition on the ranch there. And it's surrounded by Hopi ranch land, which is interesting. And right through the middle is Diablo Canyon, which is probably where these cases are occurring. Yeah. So, you know, what you banish, you invoke. I've been trying to call this woman and get permission to come up there and stuff, but I'm not being taken seriously, evidently. Now, you were involved in, I think, two cases, if I'm not mistaken, definitely one, where you determined pure hemoglobin was found on an animal. In one case in Oregon, I think in the early 2000s, if I'm not mistaken. And then wasn't there another one, I think?
That's the only one that I found hemoglobin. I would like to see if other cases. I think on that it is pure hemoglobin, yeah. But I think regarding its source, I think the jury is still out because, first of all, I don't have background in the biological sciences, but I have questions. Was there some sort of capillary separation of the blood on the dead animal and the hair, or could there have been natural processes such as a bacterial attack on the blood, just leaving the hemoglobin?
Right.
And I think those things should be checked out. And also, it would be nice to have some blood for some more animals. And to see if it's still hemoglobin. And the problem with that one was I only had sub-milligram levels of the sample.
Let's do our break here, and then we'll continue with this analysis. With Gina and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Hey, I rode the elevator with you, but I don't work on the upper floors. I just want to squeeze in there right next to you, so the RFID scanner in my pocket can capture all your personal information, your debit and credit cards, even your work ID badge. So your identity is now my identity. Going up, so am I.
For over 10 years, ID Stronghold has pioneered RFID blocking wallets and ID badge holders for consumers, the U.S. military, and even the executive office of the president. Shouldn't you be protected too? ID Stronghold wallets cost about the same as wallets in most stores, but give you extra protection.
I'm Wal Augustinowicz, founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. Don't be a victim of electronic pickpocketing. Protect yourself from crimes you can't see with ID Stronghold wallets, card sleeves, and purses.
Visit IDStronghold.com and get the original RFID blocking wallets and badge holders. IDStronghold.com.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dies deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So Phyllis Buttinger is immersed here in an analysis of evidence. Can you go on, please?
Okay, like I said, I had sub-milligram quantities of samples. So it was just little flecks of blood, and I would feel better if I would have had more blood to work with, and also from other cases. But there's no question that was hemoglobin, but there could have been other reasons. So, again, it needs more investigation.
Right. Other than possible natural causes, how would you be able to separate out the hemoglobin from the rest of the constituent elements in the blood? Would that be considered unusual to find something like that on a dead animal out in the field?
Well, with our technology, it would be, because it's rather complex, I believe.
So you need a centrifuge.
Yeah,
you need a centrifuge.
Yeah, and it's a complicated procedure. And again, you need a centrifuge, and I don't think they could have done something like that on site with our technology. So.
And what would be the motivation? How about animals that have been found with abnormally depleted amounts of copper in the blood? Would that be another case of needing a centrifuge?
Well, I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Because we've had some cases with extremely, almost no copper, just trace elements of copper in the blood. There are some natural conditions that can lead to copper deficiency in blood, but not down to the levels that were claimed, I think, in one National Institute for Discovery Sciences paper, if I remember correctly, that there was a case that was practically devoid of copper. Elevated copper, I could see, especially, you know, near polluted, like a Superfund site that we had in near the San Luis Valley, about 40 miles up into the mountains. mountains, trash the top 17, 20 miles of the Alamosa River, and then downstream from that in the valley, animals were found with so much copper and heavy metals in their blood that they actually shouldn't have been walking around.
Wow.
And the EPA heard there in the valley, determined that there were excessive amounts, unhealthy amounts of heavy metals. And when the scientist who was in charge of that particular project went to his supervisors and said, well, you know, we have to draft a press release to warn ranchers in the area who are watering their animals from that source. We have to warn them that this is unhealthy beef, and the EPA wouldn't let him. And they fired him. He did a whistleblowing routine with Westwood Magazine in Denver and spilled the beans on him. And it's interesting, during that two-year period, I had seven mutilations along those canals and wateries coming out of the Alamosa River, which were unexplained horses and cattle. The case with the elevated magnetite was very near there as well. So this stuff, the more you get into it, the more the bald spots appear on my head from scratching so much.
Yeah. Well, you know, you ask one question, then you have six more that you have to ask. Why is this, you know, and
right.
it generates more questions.
Well, we have some questions again from our audience, and here's one from Ufology, who's our nuts and bolts guy up in Calgary. Randall always asks good questions. As best as you can, in everyday terms, can you please give us an idea of what chemical evidence you believe would be sufficient to scientifically conclude that an alien substance is present and not merely some sort of unusual chemical compound, or I'm adding combination of compounds that could be manufactured by humans? I mean, what would be the smoking gun thing that you would see it and know?
If it was a piece of metal, say, I would say the composition of the metal plus the isotopic ratios, if they were different from terrestrial values. Do you know what isotopic ratios are? Let me try to explain it. Well, most of the elements have isotopes. That is, an element can have different masses because they have varying numbers of neutrons in the nucleus. And let me use the example of copper to explain it. Copper has two isotopes, copper 63 and 65. I'll say the isotope I'll call copper A and copper B, so I don't have to worry about the numbers. But on Earth, the abundance of these isotopes is always the same. Copper A is 69% and copper B is 31%. Well, wherever, it's a constant. Wherever you go on Earth, it's going to be the same amount. But in another solar system, say you go to Zeta Reticuli or Alpha Centauri, the constant might be different. And let me pull some numbers out of the air. But it's possible copper A could be 55% and copper B could be 45%. So we can measure these. And so if we see copper isotopes are not the same amount on Earth, like 69 and 31, we know it has to be from another solar system. The reason for this is in the dim eons of time, in the formation of the solar system, the physical processes might be slightly different. And so in the formation of the elements, their elemental isotopic abundances might be different. By the way, we do see isotopic differences in meteors, which are extraterrestrial or from other solar system or wherever they're from. But that's basically it. So if you had a piece of metal that had abundances that did not compare to that on Earth, you know it's extraterrestrial, can't be. So that would be a thing, and along with the composition, that would be a definite flag. The only problem is on some of these, I've done some isotopic ratio measurements. I've had them done on some metal samples, and I have not found any of these ratios to be different. But we know so little about the aliens. What if they're time travelers? And they come from Earth in the first place, you know, and so maybe there wouldn't be any differences.
Yeah, well, of course, we're kind of speculating here, though, about motives of aliens, or even if there are aliens. Amongst all the things you've investigated, and you've found a lot of strange things here, can you say this absolutely 100% did not come from Earth?
No, I haven't been able to. It's just these bizarre findings that shouldn't be there. I cannot say that I do have a meteor somebody sent me just recently that I could say that, but as far as alien origin.
Yeah, there's one meteor.
I can't prove it. I can't prove it, but it's just, yeah. You know, collect the energy, the data and whatever. So you were talking about mutilations.
Right.
I have a very interesting case that I looked at around, 7 years ago or so. And this was a mutilated buffalo, or a bison, I should call it. He had a name. He was Frank was found in the field with all the typical laser-like incisions and organ removal and so forth. And a lady who investigates these and has a website in Canada sent me some samples, a bunch of samples. But was what really interesting was there was singed hair on the animal, and so I was sent some singed hair, and I was sent some normal hair. Well, I went about analyzing it, and I found that there was a substance on the singed hair, and I was able to identify it as a compound known as 3-hydroxyanthranilic acid. And I have no idea that, you know, this could not come from a common substance introduced by the farmer or from the environment of the bison.
Well, give us an idea of what that particular substance could be used for, or kind of give us an idea of what it is.
It's a compound that, when I did a literature search, it's commonly referred as a metabolic product of tryptophan. I can say tryptophan was found in high level levels in a cow in Utah. This came from NIDS. And it was thought that maybe the Utah animal had been sedated with tryptophan before euthanasia. But I don't think this was the case for this bison because it's on the exterior of the animal.
Let's look further into this anomaly.
Wow, this is interesting.
It sure is. We got a lot more to come with Phyllis Buttinger and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Demographic Cliff, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.harrydentresearch.com. Again, that's www.harrydentresearch.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At contractorexam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, contractorexam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.contractorexam.com today.
planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings. It's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, when we find anomalies, we're all just so anxious to figure out what's going on. Phyllis Budinger, tell us more.
Okay, that was basically it, but as a postscript, I think this lady, she released my report on her website. Up until then, she had one hit on her website from a U.S. government agency. But the day after, or two or three days after, she had 164 hits by U.S. government agencies. So something,
okay,
something
hit
their interest, you know. So
she
was in
Canada, though, right? This is the Canadian case?
Yes.
Which province? Alberta?
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan, okay. And this would have been 2008?
Yeah.
Interesting. Was Fern Bazil, I think, did you ever talk with Fern Bazil? He covered in the late 90s and early 2000s, he covered Saskatchewan and Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to remember who this woman could be. You don't have to.
Barb Campbell.
Barb Campbell. Okay, a name does kind of ring a bell. Wow,
yeah,
that's interesting. So this particular compound was found on the singed hair samples, what you're saying, and not found on the other the control sample.
No, the other samples I didn't do much with because they were pretty well degraded by the time I got them, but the hide samples and stuff. But the hair sample threw me, and I have no explanation for it except what I mentioned about the tryptophan.
And so when you say the government hit count went to 60.
It went from U.S.
government, correct? That's not Canadian government.
Yeah, it's U.S. government. U.S. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, something there piqued their interest. That's so I don't know what I found.
Now, did they actually send hide samples from the incisional area?
I think she sent some samples like that, but they were pretty smelly and degraded by the time I got them, and they weren't shipped properly. So,
well, it's good to use formalin. That always helps.
Yeah.
Because I would have been interested to hear if there was any cauterized capillaries, heated up fat in the tissue and that sort of thing, hemoglobin. Wow, that's very interesting. I've never heard that before. I've heard a lot of things have been found in mutilated cattle, including mescaline, nicotine, barbiturates, coagulants, anticoagulants, every type of tranquilizer you can think of, ketamine. The list goes on and on and on. Barbiturates. So, yeah, we need to do more work. Unfortunately, we can't get to most cases in a timely manner because
right.
scientists like you have to open up packages that you...
Yeah, some were pretty bad.
Yeah, my girlfriend a couple of times made me strip outside and hose me down with cold water before she would let me come to the house. Throw those clothes away. Yeah, well, nothing like a little Vicks under your nose when you get into these things. Oh, my God. Well, you wanted to talk about some other cases that you had the opportunity to analyze, other materials. Approximately how many cases have you been asked to become involved with? Can you give us a ballpark?
Let's see. I'd say almost 100.
Wow. Well, besides the Delphos case, what's the most intriguing one?
Well, of course, the Biddy Hill dress.
Let's talk about that. Oh, I totally forgot about that, that Kathleen got you the dress.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, yeah. This will be interesting. Gene, what do you think?
Yeah, we should follow that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, at least it's not panties coming from New Zealand.
Oh, please. But then, you know, if you read about that, you know what makes it crazier is that I saw the emails from that person in New Zealand describing in explicit detail how those things got soiled. Oh, forget it.
Yeah. I don't think I want to read about that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk Betty Hill and the infamous dress. I don't think there's many people that really know that some work was done on that dress. Let's talk about it.
Do your listeners know the case? Maybe you should go over the case.
The background on
any analysis is you've got to get as much background information.
Right, and we've covered the Hill case on a number of times, not only with Kathleen but with other abduction researchers. So I think most of our listeners are aware that this could be called the first real, I guess, documented case of alien abduction.
Yeah, really.
Claimed alien abduction. This was back in the early 60s. Life magazine finally covered it, and John Fuller wrote Interrupted Journey, which I read as a kid, I think in high school. So I think most people are aware of the case. And also Betty Hill, just as a little aside here, she actually did a very good job investigating the only known cattle mutilation case in New Hampshire. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she wrote up a very professionally well written piece on what turned out to be the only cow mutilation ever reported in New Hampshire, starring Betty Hill. So, anyway, why don't you go ahead and set it up? How did you get a hold of the dress?
Okay, about 2001, I became aware that the dress she was wearing during the abduction existed. I didn't know that, and I read about it in the MUFON Journal, which was the 40th anniversary commemoration issue of the event. So that's when I contacted Kathy Martin, Betty's niece, and soon she sent me some swatches from the dress. And I should tell you the details about the dress. You hear about the story, but it helped a lot for me to make some interesting speculations. Not many details on the dress history are documented, but the dress she wore that night was new. It was worn only one other day during that weekend, but not the day before the abduction. Therefore, which was fortunate, it had never been laundered and so forth. And when the abduction began, Betty recalls that two beings were on each side of her and escorted her to the craft with their hands under her arms. And she told me, she said, "I put up a hell of a fight before I crossed the threshold," she said. And I asked whether she hit with her hands, and she says, "Oh, no, I kicked like hell because my arms were restricted." Well, the dress obviously suffered stresses, And then while on the craft, she remembers that halfway through the physical, they decided to remove the dress, and they had difficulties with the zipper. And once removed, she said the dress ended up in a heap on the craft floor. And well, what happened was she got home. She put the dress folded in the bottom of the closet, and it remained there for several days. Then she finally removed it, and it was covered with a pink powder. So she threw it in the trash, and then she quickly changed her mind. She put it out in the doors in the sun, and the powder blew away, unfortunately. But not all of it did, I don't believe. But it left stains, all pink stains all over. And these were where the entities had touched the dress, interestingly enough. And the lining on the right side was torn from the waist to the hem. And the top of the zipper was ripped. And, of course, because of the damage, it couldn't be worn again. Well, I took, I did a lot of analysis on this. It's actually reference number 25 in Greenwald's Black Vault Archives. Well, I noticed that I could make some conclusions. Well, it was obvious that the pink areas of the dress suffered, you know, some kind of chemical effects, and both the dye and the fiber were attacked. And there was a biologically derived material on there, and I think I'm pretty sure that it's mildew. And the highest concentration was in the pink areas. And it was found mostly to be on the exterior of the dress, not the interior, except for the underarm swatch. Then that was totally permeated with that. So I could definitely say that these were not elimination products from Betty or body respiration, or elimination products. And there's traces amounts of natural common materials like dust and so forth that you'd find on a dress which hung in a closet.
Let's do our break here and continue with this analysis of that dress. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about garment that was worn by one of Bill Clinton's girlfriends. We're talking about Betty Hill's dress. Okay, just want to clarify that for no reason. Whatever we've got. Sure, let's continue. With Gene and Chris, you're in
a fascinating episode.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today. 866-257-3105.